to Experience Church. Glad that you're here with us this morning. And I want to say welcome to those of you joining us online or at any one of our jail campuses or Belize Central Prison. We believe in you. We love you. Come on, church. Can you welcome them as well as they join us? Well, we're continuing our series that we're in called Made Rich. Made Rich. I want to give you the title right away of the message today because I really believe God has an encouraging word for you today. I've felt it in my spirit for a couple of weeks now. I know God is going to encourage every single one of us if we'll let him today. Here's the title of today's message, and that is How to Have a Financial Breakthrough. Now, I want to say this, though. I'm going to give a lot of examples of a financial breakthrough. We are in a finance series, in our Made Rich series. I do want to say that no matter what kind of breakthrough you need today, God's going to give it to you, that God wants to come alongside you. And so I'm excited for this. But let me read our key verse for the entire series, and it's this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says this. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be made generous in every way, and such generosity will produce thanksgiving to God through us. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, so that God can be praised, so that God can be thanked for it. I was thinking about this verse, and I wonder if, like me, you've ever wrestled in the tension of this verse. There have been seasons in my lives that I've wrestled in the tension of this verse. I would say about me, and I would likely probably say it about you because you're a generous church. I would have said about me that I had the heart to be generous in every way. I wanted to be generous to the church. I wanted to be generous to my family and friends around me. I wanted to meet needs in Jesus' name around me. I had the heart to be generous in every way. But what I would have said is, but I didn't feel like I was being made rich in every way so that I could be generous in every way. Anybody else ever wrestled in this tension? In fact, I would tell you that a few years out of college, maybe a year out of college, I found myself in a mess that I did not know how to get out of, a financial mess. I found myself right out of college. I took on a job, and in fact, it wasn't because the income wasn't good. I still haven't made that much money since that time. That job out of college, God blessed me with it, and I had an income coming into me, but I found myself not wise in how I managed my money. And before I knew it, my school loans started to come due. I didn't know if you know this, but apparently they want you to pay those things back. And so now I had to start making payments at a certain time on my school loans. I found myself also using my credit card for everything. I knew that I had a secure income coming in. And so somehow in my mind, it just made sense to get what I want and get it now, and I'll pay for it later. And I started using credit cards right out of college for anything that I wanted. If I had a need, or even if it wasn't a need, if I had a want, I just went and I put it on credit. And before I knew it, I was racking up all this credit card debt. I was the type of person that I got so stressed about my money, I felt so much pressure about my money and how was I going to pay for all this, that I thought the obvious thing is go on vacation and not stress for a week. So what do you think I did? I would go on vacation and put it on my credit card because I was stressed about the money. Not only that, I'm single out of college. Who wants to go on vacation by themselves? So I would invite a couple friends with me and I would pay for them too on the credit card and we would all go off on vacation. I had a lot of friends. They all liked me. I was the type that we would go out to eat. We would go to dinner and I would take all the friends. And because I wrestled with the tension, I want to be generous. I want to do this for people. And I wrestled with the tension, so I would pay for everybody's dinner on my credit card. And before I knew it, I had so much credit card debt, I did not know how I was going to get out of it. And now I'm paying 26 to 30% interest on these credit card bills that I can't pay. On top of that, again, because I'm wrestling with the tension that I want to be generous, I had a family member. I had a company car, so I had an extra car that I was still paying payments on. And I had a family member that needed a car, so I let them use the car, but they weren't paying me for the payments, so I was picking up those payments. On top of that, I found myself with another family member that needed some equipment for their company, and I didn't know the scripture at the time that you shouldn't do this, so I signed for the loan. I got the loan for them to get the piece of equipment that they need for their company. And don't you know that if they aren't going to pay it, who's going to have to pay it? So now they're not paying the payment, now I'm having to pay that payment too. I'll tell you that I found myself in a place that I needed a breakthrough. I found myself in a mess that I did not know how I was going to get out of it. And I just want to encourage you today, if that's you, God will give you a breakthrough. God gave me a financial breakthrough, and I'm going to tell you exactly how today. And I want to encourage you, no matter what situation you may find yourself in, God wants to give you a breakthrough. Look at this verse. It encouraged me at the time. Psalm 34, verses 18 through 19 says this. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. Good people suffer many troubles, but the Lord saves them from them all. I just want to encourage you today, if you need a breakthrough, you're in the right place. God has an encouraging word for you today. And it doesn't matter if you're the one that got yourself in the mess. Anybody? I got myself in this mess. I don't deserve for God to get me out of it. God went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross for a mess he did not make. And I'm going to go ahead and receive that one. So why wouldn't I receive every breakthrough, every freedom that he wants to give me? And I've come to stir your hope today. If you found yourself in a place that you do not know how to get out of, if you found yourself in a mess that you can't see your way out of, if you found yourself in a place that you need a breakthrough, I'm telling you, you serve the God of breakthroughs. I don't care how you got there. I don't care how deep you're in it. I don't care how heavy it seems. You serve the God of breakthroughs, and he gave me one, and he's going to give you one too. I want to show it to you in scripture. And so what I want to share today is three spiritual keys to breakthrough. Again, I'm going to share from my financial breakthrough that God gave me, but no matter what kind of breakthrough you need, these three keys work for breakthrough. And I want to show them to you in scripture from a man named Jehoshaphat. It's a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, an amazing story, one of my favorites. You might even have some of these verses pasted on your walls at home. You've probably wrote them somewhere. You're going to love this story. And you're going to see these three keys work in Jehoshaphat's situation. They worked in my situation, and they will work in yours. Now, I got to tell you up front, when I tell you these three keys, you're going to be unimpressed. You may be like, that's what you did all week? I could have came up with that on my own. I'm just going to tell you, they may seem like unimpressive keys, too practical. This is too simple. This is too, but what I want you to know about these three keys, no matter how practical they might seem, they have a supernatural grace and power attached to them. So it's not about the practicality of the keys that I'm going to teach you. It's about the supernatural power of God that is a present upon them to give you breakthrough. And so I just want to encourage you with that as I share these three keys today. But let me show you Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat, like me, found himself in a mess that was partly his fault. Let me show it to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 2 through 3. It says this about Jehoshaphat. Jehu, son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him. Why should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? He's talking to Jehoshaphat. He said to the king, because of what you've done, the Lord is very angry with you. Even so, there is some good in you. In other words, it's telling us about Jehoshaphat here. He does love the Lord, but he's also making some really dumb choices. He does love the Lord, but he's hanging out with the wrong people. And he's going to find himself in a situation that he won't be able to get himself out of. In fact, if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, we're going to watch as three different kings, three different armies, three different countries begin to invade Judah, invade Jehoshaphat's territory, and he is not going to be able to defeat them on his own. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 1 through 3 says this. After the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. So here he is in a situation that he needs a breakthrough. He needs victory, and he is not going to be able to get it on his own. And he applies three spiritual keys that you and I can apply for our breakthrough too. I want to say these about these keys because the importance of these keys is how you win in the spirit before you try to win in the natural. So these keys that I'm about to tell you and that Jehoshaphat used in his situation, they're winning the battle in the spirit. So they won't make such sense, but you're winning the battle in the spirit before you try to win it in the natural. And here's your first key that you need for breakthrough. And it's this. Number one, fast. That's it. Fast. Here's what it says. So here they are. He has three different countries coming against him that he does not have the strength, power, or might to defeat. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 2 through 4, it said this. Messengers came. They told Jehoshaphat, the army of Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already in Hazazon Tamar. And then Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news. And he begged the Lord for guidance. And he ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting so that people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Now, I need you to know this would not have made practical, natural sense. If you're about to be invaded by three different armies that you already don't have the strength to defeat, the last thing you want to do is tell all the soldiers and all the people to not eat or drink and lose even more strength. This wouldn't have made practical sense, but that's because he knew he couldn't win it in the natural. He had to win it in the spirit first. And he had a spiritual key for winning this breakthrough, for winning this victory, and that was fasting. He knew that they had to fast if they were going to get the victory, if they were going to get the breakthrough they were looking for. And often, all throughout Scripture, through the Old Testament and the New, fasting was a sign of humility and repentance. They would call a fast, they would go on a fast before the Lord if they needed to humble themselves. In other words, they were coming before the Lord saying, "We're not strong enough to solve this. I'm not strong enough to fight this. I'm not strong enough to get myself out of this mess. I'm not smart enough to figure out what to do next. I don't know what to do. I don't know the next step. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord. I'm going to fast to show the Lord, I need your help. You need a breakthrough? You got to fast." It was also a sign of repentance. This moment where they say, "I'm sorry we got ourselves in this mess. I repent for the choices that I've made. I repent for the decisions that got me here." This fasting was able to go before the Lord and unlock the key of God being able to help. Fasting could be the only way that you get your breakthrough. Some things will only come through fasting. I'll prove it to you because Jesus told his disciples that. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, they are now dealing with a demoniac, a man that has got a stronghold. He's possessed by demons, and they cannot get him delivered. They can't see him set free, but they've seen others set free. And they go back to Jesus. The disciples say to Jesus, "Why is this not working? Why is he not getting the freedom we've seen others get?" And Jesus says this, "This kind never comes out except by prayer and fasting." In other words, there's some breakthroughs you will not get without fasting. There's some victories you'll never get without fasting. There's some things that'll never come to your life without fasting. Fasting is not something we just do as a church for 21 days at the beginning of the year and we wait another year. Fasting is a spiritual key for your personal breakthrough. This is a weapon God's given you for you to apply to your situation, for you to apply to that thing that you need to break through. Fasting allows God's power to be added to your situation. Fasting will bring victory. Fasting is like a hunger strike against the enemy's plans against your life, your family's life. Fasting is, it causes us to remove the blinders that are not allowing us to see what's actually happening in the spirit. It allows spiritual solutions to come to our natural problems. Fasting will break the yoke of bondage over your life and situation. Fasting will bring divine wisdom to your life and your situation. Fasting will humble you and cause an appropriate dependence on God. Fasting will remind you of your purpose and what matters most. Fasting will bring heaven's answers and hell's defeat every single time. There's some things that just won't come unless you fast. And as a pastor, I need to teach you this. You need to know this is in your arsenal. This is a spiritual key to your victory. It's a spiritual key to the breakthrough that you need. You need to fast. In my own life, when I found myself in this mess, in this debt, don't you know the feeling? I mean, I didn't even want to go to the mailbox. Because every envelope I opened, I knew was not for me. It was taking something from me, and I didn't have it to give. And I remember just the stress and the anxiety. It felt like this weight I could not get out from under. And it was constant, and it was every day. And I remember I was determined to get this breakthrough, and I knew I needed God's help, so I fasted. Now, at that time, we were actually in the 21 days of fasting and prayer at the church that I was at that time. And I began to fast, and I fasted from food. And biblically speaking, anytime you see fasting in the Bible, it was food. You can fast other things, but just know, no matter what your health condition is, there's something in food or drink that you can give up, right? And so I want to encourage you, if you need a breakthrough, you're going to have to fast. And that was me. And so I started fasting, and I went on a fast during that time. I actually was going to do this for 90 days. I determined I was going to do these principles for 90 days. And I started to fast food, but then I also went on what I called a spending fast. Now, I know you'll find this hard to believe, and I'm only going to confess it because Kyle's not here, but I had a bad shopping problem. He thinks I still do, but I've had breakthrough. He should have seen me before. And so here I was, I knew I'm going to have to not spend. I can't keep using credit for things I can't afford just because I want it in the moment. I can't keep doing that. And I went on this spending fast, and I stopped myself. For 90 days, I determined I will not buy anything else other than just what I need, maybe food. But at that point, I'm also fasting food, so there's really nothing I should be having to buy other than the bills that I had to pay. And I went on this spending fast to break. I needed to discipline my flesh. I realized that my flesh had mastered me. I had not mastered it. And in this moment, I had to get some discipline over my flesh. That's what fasting does. It disciplines me to know that I can submit to God, and I don't have to be ruled by every whim, every impulse, every thought and idea that I have. And so here I am. I start fasting food, and then I'm also fasting this spending. You know, that reminds me, I'm not the only woman with a shopping problem. You want to hear a joke about one? I tell you this joke all the time, but you laugh every time, so I'm going to keep telling it to you. But there was this woman, and she also had a shopping problem, and she kept spending and racking up debt on the credit card. Every time she wanted a new outfit, she just was always buying stuff she didn't need. And so one day her husband told her, "This has to stop. We can't keep doing this." And so he told her, from now on, that you're on a freeze. No spending whatsoever. No more clothes. She said, "Okay, I agree. I'm sorry. I'm going to agree to this." And so one day she had to go to the grocery store, and she asked for the card. And her husband said, "All right, I'm going to give you this card, but don't forget, no shopping, only milk, only groceries. That's what you're going to the store for." She said, "I've got it. No problem. I can do this." He gives her the card, and on her way out the door, he says, hey, just in case you get tempted, because you might, if you do have to walk by the clothing aisle while you're getting the milk, I just want to give you a tool. If you feel tempted, I want you to say this: "Satan, get behind me." She said, "Okay, I got it." He said, "Repeat after me. Satan, get behind me." She's like, "I got this. No problem." She goes off to the store. She goes and gets the groceries. She's in the milk aisle. She's got the milk, and she's heading out, and on her way to the cash register, don't you know, she passed the clothing aisle. And this dress just looked perfect. And so she thought to herself, "I'm just going to try it on. I'm not actually going to buy it. I'm just going to try it on." And she goes and she gets the dress and she tries it on. And, well, you know the rest of the story. She ends up buying the dress on the credit card. She goes back home. She gets out of the car. She's walking back into the house. She's got milk in one hand and a dress in the other. And it's obvious to her husband. And her husband says to her, "I thought we talked about this. You agreed you weren't going to buy any clothes." She said, "I know. I got so tempted." He said, "We talked about that too. You were supposed to say, 'Satan, get behind me.'" She said, "I did. He said the dress looked even better from back there." I mean, what's a girl to do? Fast. That's what she's to do. Fasting is a spiritual key to your breakthrough. It was a key to my breakthrough. It was a key to Jehoshaphat's breakthrough. There's a moment in time that we humble ourselves and we get in front of the Lord and we just say, "God, I need your help." in this situation. Here's the second key that Jehoshaphat did. He calls the fast. They're all fasting. Here's the second spiritual key to your breakthrough, and it's this. Number two, pray. Pray. I know they seem simple, right? But if they were simple, you wouldn't need a breakthrough. You'd be doing them. Me too. And so here he is, Jehoshaphat, they're fasting, and now he knows they need to call upon the Lord. He gathers all the people of Judah. They get in front of the temple, and they begin to call on God. And the Bible tells us that he begins to remind the people and himself of how strong God is, how good he's been to them, how faithful God is, how his power and might have never been defeated. He begins to remind all the people and pray, and he prays this. It's beautiful. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, he says this, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. And then he says this, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. There's two things that happen in this prayer as Jehoshaphat prays it. The first thing is he prays very specifically for what he needs. God, I need you to execute judgment. I need you to take out these enemies. I need you to defeat these armies that we don't have strength to fight. So I'm encouraging each of you. You need to pray specific. What is it you need God to do? Stop praying such general, faithless prayers. God wants to hear your bold prayers. He wants to hear your specific prayers. He wants to hear your audacious prayers. There's something that God is attracted to when we pray bold, faith-filled, specific prayers. In my situation, I knew the amount that I needed God to provide. God, I need a breakthrough in my finances, and I need this much money to get out from under this debt, and I prayed that much money down to the penny. God, I need you to move in this. I need you to take care of this debt. I need you to take care of these loans. Yes, I'm fasting and I'm repentant, but I can't get out of it alone. I'm in a situation that I need your help with, and this is what it is. What is it that you need? Have you asked him? Because you know your prayers are prophetic. Ask yourself what you've prayed, and that is what you'll receive. If you haven't asked for it, why would you receive it? And I want to challenge you, get specific. What is it you need in your marriage to save it? Ask him for it. What is it you need in your kids to see them come to the Lord? Ask him for it. What do you need in your finances? What do you need in your body? What health, what cure do you need? Ask him for it. Get specific with those prayers, and you watch God come along and answer them to the I, to the T that you asked for it. Ask him for it. What do you need? What do you need? Ask him for it. But there's a second part to that prayer. The second part of that prayer from Jehoshaphat was, not only did he ask specifically, but he also said this, I don't know what to do. There was a listening side to the prayer. God, I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to fix this problem. I don't know how to fix what solution is needed. And then he begins to ask, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're listening. We're watching. We're ready to do whatever you tell us to do. Just, we need you to tell us, God. There's this listening prayer that is happening in this moment. And for me, not only did I pray specifically, but I also had a moment that I said, God, if there's anything I'm not doing that I should be doing, show me it. If there's anything that I'm doing that I need to stop, show me it. God, if there's anything that needs to be taken the next step, show me. God, I'm listening. I don't know what to do to get out of this, but my eyes are on you in this moment. Can I tell you what fasting and prayer does? You see, fasting and prayer takes your problem and makes it God's problem. Did you know that? Fasting and prayer takes your burden and makes it God's burden. Fasting and prayer takes your cares and makes them God's cares. Let me say it this way. Fasting and prayer takes your battle and makes it God's battle. And can I just tell you something? God has never lost a battle yet. Not once, not ever. You and I have the privilege, the honor. We've been invited to this space where we can go, God, here's my problem, and now I'm making it your problem. God, here's my trial, and now I'm making it your trial. God, here's my battle, and I'm about to make it your battle. I'm going to need you to fight this win. I'm going to need you to win this win. I can't get out of here without you, God. I need your help, and that is what fasting and prayer does. In fact, let me show it to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 15, this is the verse you've heard before. It's the verse that might be on the wall at your house. I promise you know this one. And this is the moment that he has been fasting, they have been praying, and now the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, the Spirit of the Lord fell on this man. We'll call him Jay because I can't say his whole name. That the Spirit of the Lord fell on this man in the crowd, and he begins to prophesy to King Jehoshaphat. He begins to give an encouraging word. He says, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God says to your situation. Why? God will answer you when you pray. He'll answer you. And in this moment, this prophetic, encouraging word comes forth, and here's what it was. Verse 15, it says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed at this great horde. I love it. He repeats back. God repeats the exact prayer back. You said you can't defeat this great horde. And he uses the exact words to say, nope, you're right. You can't, but don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I've heard your prayer. And then it goes on and it says this, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. The battle isn't yours. It's the Lord. What breakthrough do you need? What one of your kids still doesn't know the Lord, and you need them to, and you want them to, and you're desperate. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. You gotta fast, and you gotta pray, and those keys are gonna take your problem and your battle and make them God's. And then something else happens. It's our third and final key today. I wanna give it to you. And for Jehoshaphat, he's standing there and he receives this encouraging word. He knows God's heard his prayer. And then it says, then it gave him an instruction. Here's what to do next. And it's the third key. Ready? Number three. We got to fast. We got to pray. Number three, and obey. Once God answers your prayer and shows you the next step, you got to take it. Once God shows you what you've not been doing that you should be doing, you've got to do it. Once God shows you what you got to stop that you've been doing that you shouldn't be doing, you got to stop it. There's this moment then in this story that they had to obey. And can I just tell you, God's instructions don't always make practical sense. In the natural, they're probably not going to make sense. Well, how would that help this situation? That seems like it's only going to make it worse. In fact, look at the instruction, because the same man that had the prophetic word begins to give them instructions. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 16 through 17. It says this, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle, but you will need to march. You may not have to fight the whole battle, but there is something you're going to have to do. God's going to show you a step to take. There's something that you're going to have to do. Just because it's the battle is the Lord's does not mean that we just stand by and hope. There's probably something God's going to tell you to do next. And in this one, they may not have to fight, but they were going to have to march. And it goes on and he says, stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, here's your instruction, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. So here they are, they've got their instructions. They're gonna have to go out, and remember, could you imagine how that feels? We already know we can't win this. We already know we can't defeat them, yet we're gonna have to go march and get out in front of them and act like we're gonna fight. And so here they are, and they begin to just immediately obey the instruction that God had given them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, it says this, Jehoshaphat says this, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang, give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Let me pause there because I just want to encourage you. There's something about giving thanks to God before you actually have the breakthrough. You want breakthrough? Thank him before it comes. You want your marriage restored? Go ahead and thank God for a restored marriage before you have it. You need your debt to be taken care of? You go ahead and thank God for taking care of debt before he ever has. You need your kids to be saved? You go ahead and thank God for holy, Jesus-loving kids before you ever see it. You want to see something happen in your life? You go ahead and give thanks to God. You praise Jesus before you ever have it. There's something about that that God is attracted to. He's looking for some kids that'll thank him before they ever see what they've been asking for. Can you be them? You need a breakthrough? You go ahead and say thank you to God before you ever see it. Why? Because you know he's faithful. Because he said he would. Because he said he'd give you victory. Because he said he would help you in the breakthrough. I can thank him for that because he's faithful to his word. And here they are. They march out. They obey. They march out. They're already thanking God. And as they begin to do that, from the moment they obey, the Bible says, look at it, at that very moment that they begin to sing and praise the Lord, God caused all the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. So here they are in a situation they cannot fight their own way out of. They don't know what to do with. Yet here they are on the battleground. They begin to praise the Lord, and God causes confusion in the enemy's camp. Can I just tell you that when you take these spiritual steps, when you use these spiritual keys, when you fast, when you pray, and you just obey the word of the Lord, no matter if it makes sense or not, it will cause confusion in the enemy's camp. Suddenly he's going to forget what he was trying to bring against you. Suddenly he's going to forget, what was I doing and how did they get victory? So he's going to lose sight of you in that moment. Why? Because God's going to cause it. God's going to cause the thing to lift. God's going to cause the thing to break. God's going to cause the enemy to defeat each other. There is something that takes place when you fast, when you pray, and when you immediately obey the Lord. For me, in my situation through my financial breakthrough, the truth was that I was fasting, I was praying, I was specific in my prayers, but I was also listening, remember? And I knew that God had spoke to me, and I was not tithing. It just wasn't something, I didn't feel like I could. I didn't know how. I've got this mountain of debt. How do I even get there? But yet I was grappling with the tension of the verse that I knew that I wanted to be generous in every way, and God would make me rich in every way. And here I am, but I knew it was something I was not obeying. Now, I'm not going to teach you all the principles of tithing. You can go listen to last week's message if this word is for you. If you need a financial breakthrough, can I tell you that tithing breaks the curse off your money? Breaks the curse off your family, breaks the curse off of what's happening in your situation. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual key. And it broke it off my life from the minute that I wrote that check and I started to tithe. I had given before, but it was more on my whim, my impulses, when I felt like it, when I thought I could. I had never committed and submitted the first of my tithe, the first of my income to the Lord, and just trusted that he would bring the rest. I decided to do that. God knew I decided it in my heart at that moment. And at the very moment that I did that, and I started doing that obedience, the other obedient step was I couldn't keep spending beyond my means. I was not meant to be a slave to the debtor. I was not meant to be a slave to the creditor. And so in this moment, I knew I had to break that off my life. I couldn't do that anymore, and I had to obey. And I obeyed those two things. And I am just here to testify and tell you, within days, I started getting the phone calls and the checks. First time I got the phone call from a family member, and they said, hey, I just have on my heart, I'm going to take care of all your school loans. I just want to take care of that for you. And they completely paid off all of my school loan. Next thing I know, I got more calls, and the one call of the family member that was using the car, that I knew they needed the car. They were a single mom. I wanted to help them. They called, and God had given them a check, and they wanted to buy the car and take that out of my name and just take it over and be able to pay for it. So now they have the car. It's a win for them, and I'm out of the debt. I'm no longer paying that immediately off of my payroll in that moment. The next call I got was from the family member that I had signed unwisely. It was not biblical. I had signed off on a loan and got them the loan, and I was paying those payments, and I got the call, hey, I got this check, and I know that I can pay this and buy this equipment. I'm going to take care of it, and it should be out of your name. We'll just transfer it over to mine. Immediately, I'm out of that debt. And before I knew it, my credit cards, I was chipping away at them, and something was happening, and I was getting more. I was getting bonuses that I didn't know were going to come. And before I knew it, I was completely set free from a situation that I had no way to get out of on my own, because I served the God of the breakthrough. I knew my God was faithful. I didn't know how he was going to do it, but I knew he could. And I am dying to impart this to you. I need you to feel it in your bones. You serve the God who cares about your situation. And I don't care how deep, heavy, and dark it is, how impossible it seems. If you'll fast and you'll pray and you'll obey the word of the Lord, I promise you breakthrough will come to your sweet life, and you're going to see victory in that area. I'm telling you, he'll do it. I'll share just two more, just so you know, it's not just me that gets these kind of breakthroughs. This prayer request, these just came in the last week, and this one says, I put in a prayer request to help my family get a deferment on our mortgage. Prayer took us even further than that. My husband got a surprise deposit. So instead of having to get a deferment, meaning a hold on our loan that we couldn't pay, we were able to pay what was due, plus have a lot extra left over. We are forever thankful for those who prayed, and we're most of all thankful to the Lord for always going above and beyond. Isn't God faithful? This one says, they wrote it after the tithe message last weekend, and they said, this morning, this message on tithing inspired me to share something that I've been meaning to and I keep forgetting. And they say this, my husband and I have been more faithfully tithing and offering not only money, but our time, our resources, our energy for the past year or so. We knew that God was calling us to pay off our debt so that we could bless others and give more. One day, I felt called to pray for God to make it clear if we should pay off our debt. That answer is always yes. And it says this, the very next day, we got a check in the mail covering our debt and even more. We not only paid off our debt, but then a few weeks later, it was the legacy offering. And we already had an amount that we could give, and we were able to give more than we ever had before. We keep witnessing that the more we give of what we have, the more blessings that truly do flow. And they said this, God is so good. I'm telling you, you serve a faithful God. He's faithful. He can bring breakthrough to every single situation. No matter what you're under, he can help you break through it, rise above it, and find victory. I on your way in, you received this 90-day breakthrough challenge. And I was just trying to think of a practical way to get you on the journey. Because honestly, it set me free to come out from under this thing that had a grip and a hold on me. It set me free to be generous. We would not have been able to start this church had not all those years previous, I had figured this out and got a breakthrough. We couldn't have done it. Now, can you imagine the lives impacted by that? My personal breakthrough doesn't just involve me. It involves the kingdom and the glory of God. So he's going to give it to you. And this 90-day breakthrough challenge, I just gave you a formula, just a format that you could write this down. You're going to keep this at home, put it in a mirror, put it in your car. What breakthrough do you need? And then you would just ask the Lord, what do I need to fast? What do I need to specifically pray? And then ask him, what do I need to obey? You jot those things down and you keep it in front of you, and I challenge you for 90 days, you believe your God and you watch what he's gonna do through that breakthrough. You can also use your phone and scan the little code there, and that's just gonna sign you up. You're not gonna tell us all these things, but it's gonna add you to the list, and we're gonna send you encouragement and resources throughout the weeks of these 13 weeks, these 90 days. I'm gonna send you resources, financial resources, fasting resources. I'll send you everything I can think of to help you get your breakthrough. That's what we want for you. And so you can sign up for that, and we'll send you those resources. Well, let me close and tell you how the story ends for Jehoshaphat. Because honestly, the end of the story was not just that he got breakthrough and victory over the enemies. It's always above that. It's always more than that. We serve the God of above and beyond, more than we could ask, think, or imagine. So yes, God gave them breakthrough and victory over the enemies, but then look what happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 25. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment and clothing and other valuables. So all the armies have killed each other. They're all wiped out, but all the stuff is left. They found it all and more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. Don't you want to live in the Valley of Blessing? Which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. And it's still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, and they were overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory, that God had given them their breakthrough over their enemies. Here it is. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. That's what breakthrough do. It gives you rest on every side. But you're gonna have to fast, you're gonna have to pray, and you're gonna have to obey, and then you watch as God gives you breakthrough in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me right now? For I have two groups I wanna pray for this morning, and the first group I wanna pray for are those of you in the room, and you would say you've not committed your heart to Jesus, that salvation isn't sure for you. Or maybe at one time you thought you did, but you've since walked away and just, you walked away from the Lord, and now you're ready to recommit your life to him. Whatever it is, I just want you to know the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that you will have salvation, that you'll spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And I want that for you today. And if that's you, all around the room, as we all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I'm just gonna pray over you. Just lift your hand if you'd say, I'm committing my life to Jesus. That is the first step to breakthrough. Every breakthrough starts with salvation. I see your hands. I see your hands. Just lift your hand to heaven. You're just going to pray. There's hands all over. Pray this right where you are. Today, Jesus, I choose you. I surrender my life to you. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to wash me clean of it. I receive this gift of salvation today. Fill me, Holy Spirit, and show me how to follow you for the rest of my days. I am yours in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You can put your hands down, and right where you are, the second group I want to pray for is those in the room that need a breakthrough. And the truth is that I know there's many of us in the room that could use a breakthrough in a certain area, and we're going to apply this spiritual key right now of prayer. And so if you're in the room right now and you need a breakthrough, I'm just gonna ask, stand to your feet. It doesn't matter if it's in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in with your parenting, whatever it is, in school, whatever it is, if you need a breakthrough and you're just marching out onto the battlefield and you're before the Lord saying, God, if you don't show up, I don't know how to get out from under this. If you don't move, I won't have victory. If you don't come, I won't have answers. And so right now, all around the room, for those that are standing for breakthrough, stretch your hand to heaven. We're gonna call upon the Lord. God, here we are, your sons and your daughters. We thank you for the power of your word today, and we seal it in our hearts. And right now, we stand before you and we call upon the God who can do anything, the God of the breakthrough. I ask right now for breakthroughs in marriages and breakthroughs in relationships and breakthroughs in finances. I ask for breakthroughs in health and healing where there seems to be no cure. I ask right now for breakthroughs in families. I pray the son would return to the father and the father to the son. I pray right now for prodigal sons and daughters that they are coming and streaming back home to you, Jesus. In your mighty name. I pray right now that debts would be canceled in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that every breakthrough that's needed in this room would be met. I pray right now that the stronghold of the enemy, the plans of the enemy would be confused in the name of Jesus and broken over every home and every life represented here. We call them to a halt in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Holy Spirit, come and breathe upon the hearts of your people. Come and give us wisdom. Would you show us what to do? We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. And we know that you are a God that brings victory and breakthrough. And that's what we're asking for today. We will follow any step that you give us. Would you show us what to do and help us take those steps? We ask it now in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. If you receive that, shout a big amen to heaven and give God some praise today. He's faithful. I'm gonna ask everybody to go ahead and stand. I'm gonna dismiss you today. Really believe God's gonna do something supernatural and powerful as you take the steps you need to take for breakthrough. But right now, I just wanna dismiss you with a blessing today. And so why don't you lift your hands to heaven? I'll speak number 6 over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. Well, awesome day in church. Hey, we'll see you next week. Have a great week this week.